Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Thursday, October 25th, 2012. My name is Sally Baptist. I'll be your host tonight, and my co-host Charlie Klein will be joining us here shortly. Tonight, we're going to be talking about a variety of issues, and you're invited to join the discussion. Please call 347-857-4364, 347-857-4364, and press 1 to speak on the air. If you don't press 1, we will think you are listening to the show and do not have anything to talk about on the show. But if you press 1, we will put you on the air, and you can tell us what you're thinking about. As some of you may know or had noticed, we didn't have a show on Monday night. Our regular shows are on Monday and Thursday. And Monday, we did not have a show, and that was Monday the 22nd. And there was a reason for that. Some of you know that my father, 82, had been ill and had a lot of problems this year, health-wise, and he passed away Monday night, late Monday night, early Tuesday morning, and so I was not on the show. I was at the hospital with him by his side. So that's why we didn't have a show. And there's a lot of lessons learned from everything I saw that happened to my father through healthcare. Healthcare has been a big topic these days with the Obamacare thing. And you know, in a couple of weeks after I've had time to kind of think about everything, except the fact that my father is no longer with us, so, and at least he's gone to a better place, but he's no longer here with us. I'm going to talk a little bit about what really happened here and all the just the outrage I have about this whole process and how we as a society, we want money so bad, we'll sacrifice people with chemicals, we'll drug them to death, we'll do just terrible things. And this isn't anything that happened overnight. This is stuff that's been happening over several years. And it truly starts with the so-called diagnosis of type 2 diabetes, which leads to dialysis and a variety of other things. But again, I'm not going to get into the details tonight, but just kind of stay tuned, you know, within the next couple of weeks, not next week, probably the following week, after I've had some time to kind of get my head together on all of this, I want to share what happened here with you, and I want to help share this with others to maybe help them not go through this. I just see so many things that happened wrong, so many wrongs that were done in this situation, the unnecessary suffering that happened. And while my father was 82, I really don't think he, I think he had a few more years in him. I think he died a little bit earlier than he should have. But again, that's why I wasn't on the show Monday. And there's more to come on this because I think it's important to share the lessons learned, try to help others, especially when it comes to this type 2 diabetes and the dialysis and everything else they do, and for you to take control. Doctors are not God. You've got to challenge and question what the doctors say. Just because the doctor says it doesn't mean it's, that it's true or that it's going to help you. You need to think about it and do your own research. The doctors are not God. So anyway, on that note, I'll get on to some of the other issues for the day. Last week we had a show on the I-95 toll taxes. Tolls increase the cost of living. And we had a very good response, one of our highest ever on the show. And they're just to let you know, there's much more to come on the toll taxes. And I have a plan for what I'm going to be doing. You know, if I don't get to kick it off before the end of the year, I guarantee you I will be kicking it off in January. But we have got to put an end to this abuse. It's just a crime against all working Americans. You know, the rich people don't care about paying a couple hundred bucks a month in toll taxes. They don't care that their cost of living goes up 5 or 10% because of the toll taxes. That's nothing to the rich people, but it is to the rest of us. So please stay tuned on that. There's going to be a lot more coming. And I do actually have a plan. I've been thinking about it. I've been working on it. Now I'm just putting it in the process of putting it in place. And hopefully I'll have something by the end of November to share with everybody on the plan of what's going to happen here. I've just decided I'm not going to stand on the sidelines on this thing anymore. Everything they're doing with the toll roads and stuff is outrageous. Okay, and then the other thing, which, I'm going to kind of switch around here. On Saturday, I attended the Freedom from the United Nations rally in Tallahassee. It was a very big success. The security people there said there were more people attending that event than they had seen as a grassroots group. So that was really good. It was very encouraging. And we'll talk a little bit more about that after a while. But it was an excellent rally. I was glad to be there. We've got to send a message to the gang of thugs in Tallahassee that we are not, Florida is not part of the United Nations. Florida does not want to be under the dictate of the United Nations. So we got to keep that focus going. Let's see here. The final presidential debate, well, I was, again, at the hostel at that time. My father, on Saturday, he had filled out his absentee ballot and turned it in, so he did vote. He was determined. He was not happy with what's happening with our country, and he did vote. And while he was in recovery from his surgery, I had him listening to the presidential debate. He had watched the others. How many of you watched the debate? I'm kind of curious because I was there, but I wasn't focused on the debate. I haven't watched either of the debates in their entirety. I just, I'll take the Jesse Ventura thing. Well, I watch a bunch of liars because that's really all it is. It's just a joke. It's a comedy act in many respects. That's another story. And then the other thing that I've been mentioning on the last few shows, and I'm not going to read the entire American's Creed today, but I'm going to remind everybody about the last line. The last line is what's so important, and we all, as Americans, we need to honor this. If you believe in America, if you believe in what America stands for, and you're outraged by the things we've seen happening in Libya and around the world, what's happened to our own people at the hands of those in Washington, D.C., think about these words and honor them. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. Defend it against all enemies. The enemy is those who are trying to take this country down. And that doesn't matter whether they're in this country or whether they're someplace else in the Middle East. Defend it against all enemies, including the ones who might be in the White House, those who are in the Houses of Congress, as in the House of Representatives, and as the U.S. Senate. It includes those who are in your state capital or who are in your local county commissions or city municipalities. If they are not working on behalf of the people, they are the enemy. We must not allow these enemies to remain in office. That's not the American thing to do. And when we get into the thing, talking a little bit about Libya, Libya is the ultimate example of treason. This was treason against the American people. Americans died because an American president wouldn't do anything. He sat there and watched the Americans getting killed by his friends, by the ones he supports against Americans. So despicable. But then again, look at the Congress. What did the Congress do? Nothing. The Congress has done nothing. So they are just as bad. It is treason to allow that to happen and say it's okay, to stand there on the sidelines. many American public officials, public servants, elected and unelected, are guilty of treason. And at what point are Americans going to stop and say no to the treason? Or are we just going to let them destroy this country completely? I don't know. And that kind of takes me into this one other question. And then, let's see here. So I'm checking over some stuff. I go over this one last thing, and then I'm going to get Charlie in here to talk about a few things. The other thing, and this kind of ties into everything I've been talking about so far, talking about what happened to my father, talking about what's happened with Libya, talking about the Freedom from the United Nations rally, and talking about the American's creed that we need to honor. It's all to do with this. It's all part of this thing. And I recently received an article in my email, Pragmatism versus Principle, What to Do with MIT. Pragmatism versus Principle, What to Do with MIT. And I found it to be a very interesting article in many ways. While they were talking about why people would vote for Mitt Romney and faith in God and the hypocrisy that we face here, I saw it going across the board with many issues, not strictly this presidential campaign, even though this campaign is a perfect example. I'm going to read just a couple of things out of this, and I'll, in the chat room, I'll put the link. I have the link on the show page as well, so you can read the entire article, because it was kind of long, but I found it to be really interesting, and relative to everything I've been kind of experiencing in the past month or so, and just all these different pieces, and over the last couple of years when it comes to what's happening in this country. There's a section called A Perfect Test. And then, I'm reading this from the article. I would argue that this election is a perfect divine test of our faith in God, or in the alternative, our faith in man. I think it's fair to say that God has had a hand in the obscure, absurd, lesser of evils choice placed before us this year as part of his judgments to see how we will act with our nation's very existence on the line and with seemingly no real choice for president. He wants us to demonstrate whether we will trust in him or rely on ourselves in determining what to do. Our nation's continued existence, I believe, hinges on which way we ought to go in the face of this reality. If we prove ourselves worthy by doing what God wants us to do, we have nothing to fear. He will stand with us and fight our battles, and we will survive the calamitous future we would otherwise lose. What best describes your vote, pragmatism or principle? This all goes into... And there's other parts in this article that made reference to people are voting for Romney because they're voting for the lesser of two evils. Is that what God would want you to do? Is God saying sacrifice your principles? Go ahead and sacrifice your principles. It was just a very interesting thing, and this was just a small excerpt that I've read out of it. You really need to read the whole thing. And then not only think of it in terms of this election, but think of it in terms of everything we do out there. What has happened as to the principles of the American people? We do know that many of us still have principles, and we vote and we act on those principles. And there are those who truly sincerely believe Obama is the best person, those who truly sincerely believe Romney is the best person, and whoever else is out there, Gary Johnson, write-in of Ron Paul, Virgil Good, whoever. And if you know, if you truly vote what you believe, then, you know, God is on your side. But when you're out there voting against what you believe because you're afraid and you fear the other side and you've truly surrendered your principles, that's where I think the problem comes in. And I say that not only, again, in this presidential election, because this is only one piece of everything that's happened to this country. I believe this is relevant to what we have seen across the board. Americans have sacrificed core principle, core beliefs for greed, for power, for fear, for a variety of reasons. And until Americans come back to having some true principles, when the majority or even a minority who will lead the others, if we do not recognize or to come to truly have principles again, I don't think we're going to see a bright future for this country. I think the fact that we have lost our principles in so many ways, and I've just seen so much of it lately, it's depressing, it's despicable. And I keep saying, you know, dear Lord, explain it to me. What has happened to these people around me? I don't get it. This isn't what they believe. What are they voting for? How are they living their lives? Is this what they're supposed to do in healthcare? They just care about getting $1,600 every time somebody sits in that dialysis chair? So that's what it's about. It's across the board. It's a variety of things that are totally despicable. And after I get Charlie on here, if he gives us his update, and at some point I want to get into this discussion about Libya too, because I was listening to Glenn Beck earlier, and it really goes into how this truly was an act of treason from this president and some of his staff, an act of treason against America and the American people. And are the American people just going to stand on the sidelines while this happens? So I think we really want to have a good discussion on that. And please feel free to join in. Again, the number is 347-857-4364. 347-857-4364. Press 1 to speak on the air. And on that note, I'm going to Charlie Klein. Charlie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
Well, I'm taking it one day at a time. I'm surviving. It's been a rough few days with me and, you know, my father.
I know. Yeah, I'm sorry about your father, but you let me know what I can do to help.
Yeah,
okay. You're welcome. Well, anyway, we did go down this morning, about 10:30 or something like that. Terry and I went down and we filed
You might want to tell people what you're referring to. You might want to kind of get
into that. Yeah, we are referring to our lawsuit regarding Congress's failure to properly process a budget for the good of the United States of America and for the people. This is one of their obligations that they have according to the Constitution and the laws of this great country. They have collectively failed to do their job. They are in breach of their fiduciary duty to we the people, which is punishable in a court of law. They have also violated the Constitution, which is also punishable. They have also violated their oath of office to uphold the Constitution. And ladies and gentlemen, if we don't do anything, nothing will get improved. They are constantly violating our rights. In fact, I now call this trickle-down corruption, trickle-down dishonesty, or whatever you want to say. You can also call it trickle-down constitutional violations. And the only way we can get it done and straighten it out is by we the people working together, either through a court of law or by some way of, how would you say, we need to close the amendment process, because with the amendment process, as it has been brought to an attorney, we are having too many amendments put on our constitutions on a state level that circumvent the legislative process. And that is what we have to stop on a local basis. But anyway, getting back to the Constitution, back to our lawsuit. When we the people do nothing, they will continue to come after us. So Sally, Terry, and I filed a lawsuit to go after Congress for failing to properly process a budget for the good of America for over 1,000 days. That's 3 years, ladies and gentlemen, no budget. But yet the spending goes on. The stimulus package, the TARPs, and all of this other money that has been being spent out, given to Solyndra, how do they spend it when there's no budget to charge it against? Executive order? There's no executive order in the Constitution. So Sally and I and Terry decided to do something about it when we saw it was a flagrant violation of the Constitution by the members of Congress. Now, there are some members of Congress who will deny having anything to do with this at all, and they're probably going to be right. But that does not give them an excuse to not know what's happening. You know, how would they say, ignorance of the law is no excuse. So if they're sitting there driving the getaway car, or sitting there drinking the coffee or drinking the tea while this is being planned and nothing is being done, or they fail to take action and let their constituents fully know that they have taken action in some way, shape, or form, then they're just as guilty as those who fail to pass to do this, to process this budget properly. We have filed this complaint against Congressman John Boehner, Speaker of the House, and Majority Leader Harry Reid of the Senate, because they are the ones who work together with the executive branch, which is the president. But we have today, we have been fighting with the court. Court's coming back with all kinds of different things for us to check on and redo and all this type of thing, citing different cases and all that. But we're only citing what we know is a violation of the Constitution and what we heard on the news and how everybody is saying it's a violation of the law. It's a violation of the Constitution. Well, if it's a violation of the Constitution, then I do believe it's the duty of the judicial branch of the government, of our three powers, executive for the president, legislative for Congress, and the judicial, the Supreme Court and lesser courts, and it is the duty of the judicial system to correct the wrongs of the legislative and the executive. But we know full well that they cannot do it themselves, that a suit has to be filed in order for them to take action. So the three of us are doing it, and now we have about 78 other people who have signed a petition in change.org. And you go to Congress is not above the law and fill out the form. When those numbers get up there higher, we can now go into court and say that we've got over 78 people who have signed a petition for us. And if they ask for the names and everything else, then we will go back and we will access them. But ladies and gentlemen, you can do this in your own hometown. All you need is a few people, a few more patriots, just like Terry, Sally, and I are, and fill out a lawsuit, a complaint, and you can get this pro se litigant information from the court itself. And they will go ahead and throw different things at you. But you stick to your guns that you know that the Constitution is on your side. And that's what Sally and I are doing. Our case was being dismissed, or was dismissed by the court, for what we consider to be a frivolous action. We did not follow through on the form of pauperous papers that they requested us. Form of pauperous has nothing to do with the complaint. Form of pauperous had to do with the filing fees, of which we were willing to pay at the time that we filed the complaint. But we were advised to try the form of pauperous, which we did. And we were also informed that the form of pauperous would have nothing to do with the case. Therefore, I went that route. Now they're throwing the form of pauperous back in our face, so we were misinformed. So we filed it. And today we'll see what happens. We'll see if the court is for really going after the constitutional violations by those that we trust in office. And we will keep you posted on it because, ladies and gentlemen, this is your country. Not the electeds, not the appointed. This belongs to all the people of America. And those we elect and we trust to office are supposed to do so in an honest and of the highest integrity manner serve we the people. That does not give Daniel Webster in the state of Florida the right to spend $100,000 on his office space. Daniel Webster should actually be in a storefront location near a Publix, Winn-Dixie, or some other business so that we the people can actually get there. But no, he has to put himself in some kind of an office building where we have to park in a garage, go up the elevator, through the security people, and all this type of thing. He is a servant. He is not our boss. Okay, back to you, Sally. You there?
Yep. That was, I forgot to hit the mute button. So I was talking into the mute. Anyway, what I was saying is, yes, what you were saying is so true. And the thing is that I would encourage from people, everybody has a right, every American has standing, whether they want to say that or not. They're going to challenge you on standing. Just go out there, which is what we did when we filed our motion for reconsideration, to show what the national debt is. Because, like, right now, every American taxpayer, legal American, is on the hook for the tune of, like, $51,000 in debt of this country. So, yes, we have standing. They want to try and say we don't, but we do. And then they wanted to try and say it was a political question, which meant it was supposed to be through the legislation, not through the judicial. That wasn't true either. I provided a case law that showed that definition is subject to interpretation, and yes, this did warrant, based on another case, warrant their right to hear this case. But they don't want to. And that's the sad part. We basically have nobody wanting to support us, support the people. We've got so many people in public office. That goes back to that pragmatism versus principle. What happened to the principles of the American people, including those who sit on the bench, including those who run the judicial process? We have no principles anymore. That's why America's dying. There are no principles. And to deny the people this voice, or to try to deny, we need to be a little bit more formal in some of the things we do. We need to provide just some more additional information. But we did cite the part of the Constitution that said they are required to pass a budget and to provide receipts for the people. That's what they're supposed to do. So we know they violated the Constitution. Playing the game with the courts for them to actually do something is another story. But we think, you know, every American out there has this right, and we need others to do the same thing. We can share with you what our initial complaint was, how we filed it. You can go out there, take that, and take it to a little bit different level. Go out there and do some case law and cite why they have the right or they should hear it. You know, beef it up, if you will, to try to overcome some of their things. But if everybody goes out there and files a complaint against the U.S. government, that was the other part. We're going after the two heads of the two houses of Congress, because they're the ones who are playing games, not getting the job done. So we went to the Speaker and the Senate President. But to do it again, I think we would probably go after the U.S. government as a general. And then when it comes to the fees being reimbursed and things like that, there is what's called the Equal Access to Justice Act. I'm still studying up on it to get a little bit more information, but there are options too. We're not, you know, you're not supposed to have to be rich. You're not supposed to have to be an elitist in this country to have rights. And that's what it's become. If you don't have enough money, you don't have any rights. This is not America. That's not what principles are about. That's not anything to do with what this country was founded on. And if we the people keep letting it go on, then we have no country. You want to say something, Charlie?
Yeah, that $51,000 that each person now owes because of the increase in the national deficit as incurred on us by Congress and President Obama, that is a jump from $34,000 from when he took over. So that's a whole big jump, 34, 44. About $17,000 more in debt. And now they're making projections that if he is reelected, we could be up to owing another $10,000. Because they're looking at $22 trillion in debt. If he gets another 4 years, that's 16 to 22, because he likes to spend $1 trillion a year, and he talks about cuts, but he doesn't do it. In fact, I emailed to a bunch of people, so I don't know if you can put it in the website or not, but it's a wonderful comparison of Obama's campaign speech from 2008 to 2012. Do you know that he is saying almost everything identical to what he said in 2008 about jobs, no jobs, we need to get jobs, we need to cut spending, we need to do this, we need to... Everything is so the same. No change, no improvement. The same promises that you got in 2008 is the same promises that Obama is giving out now in his rhetorical way. So for all of these people who are going to his deals and they hear the same thing, they're actually listening to what he said 4 years ago. So isn't that going to be something else? I mean, if they vote for him again, they're voting for the same line of BS. And he's accusing Romney of BS.
Yeah.
Let's say, the pot calling the kettle black. That's, I just cannot believe that.
Yeah, well, but that budget doesn't just happen without the idiots of those two houses of Congress.
I know it.
That's the part. So, right. I mean, as much it's obviously I don't like what Obama has done with this country. I don't support him, and I have absolutely no intention of voting for him. But the thing is, we have got to change the morons that are in those two houses of Congress. They, you know, I heard again, it's so funny. I hear different things, and this I think was on Fox News, where they talked about the billions of dollars in high-speed rail. But guess whose name they never mentioned?
Micah.
They never mentioned Congressman John Micah, so-called conservative, who promotes wasting billions and billions. Micah is bad news, but he's not the only one. Micah's been there 20 years. He's been there long enough. But these career politicians all need to go. And if you leave the same morons in the two houses of Congress, then and regardless of who's in that White House, it's not going to make any difference. And so that's the other piece of it. You know, Obama loves to spend money, but the two houses of Congress let him do it. And here we even had the House representatives had a majority of Republicans, but they still didn't do squat. I mean, it's just they did very little. We did very little to correct the situation. So we've got to flush out the sewage in the two houses of Congress just as much as what we have to flush out of that White House, because there's evilness in both. We've got to clean all three houses out, definitely all three. And this reminds me of something else. Don't ask me how this reminds me of it, but I read an article earlier. It was something on Fox News, that Arizona is going after taking back their rights to the Grand Canyon. And I gather several states are doing this. And because of the EPA overreach, and also because because it's federal property, they're being blocked from using it for natural resources like gas and things like and oil and stuff, natural gas. So you think about what this means too, and what's happening to this country. Because now it looks like possibly, and if we can get anybody in Tallahassee, Florida, to do anything, states are starting to exercise more sovereignty. The states exercise their sovereignty and say, you know what, you're not going to own our state. We own our state, not you. The role of the federal government is supposed to be to provide security, and we all know they have never done that in Arizona. They have failed miserably to provide any kind of national security in Arizona. So Arizona has taken back their own land. And some other states are doing that, too. So I thought that was very interesting, to go back and take back the land to the state from the federal government. So I thought that was really interesting. I don't know if you had heard anything about that, Charlie. I'll take that as a no.
Yeah.
I think that you hadn't heard about that. The other thing was Libya. I was going to talk about the presidential debate thing. As I said earlier, I didn't watch it for the obvious reasons. I was busy with other things. But that was supposed to be the foreign policy debate. And yet it seems like hardly any true discussion of what happened in Libya was discussed.
And everybody's speculating on the reasons, and no matter how much you hash it through, I would just say that whatever Romney did, he did because he wanted to, and that's where I'm dropping it.
You mean on the debate?
Yep, on the debate. I mean, whatever people are saying is he didn't say anything about it. They thought he was going to jump at it and all that, but he is a gentleman. And all of the facts are not in 100% yet, because a lot of them came out after the debate, such as the fact that the Situation Room knew about the attacks within 2 hours. But yet, all of the lies about the tape or about the video and all that came out after that. And the whole thing about it is that they kept pushing it for like 2 weeks, lying to the people, when all the time it's now being shown that these communications with the powers to be actually show that powers to be knew of the attack and knew that it was not caused by the video, because nobody ever heard about the video. There were no demonstrations out there and all that. So it's like a cover-up. Like a major Watergate cover-up, but this time like 14 days in a row.
Watergate was then.
I said worse than the Watergate, much worse than the Watergate, because 4 people died, and they didn't even. They knew about this happening, and they still did not send because, they didn't want to send anybody into harm's way. Hello. They had warnings from the Senate, from the ambassador before this happened. This is a total, total violation as far as I'm concerned, and a cover-up of incompetence by the administration, including the Secretary of State.
What Glenn Beck was talking about, he was getting into the details of how they had 2 ships right outside Libya because they were expecting something to happen, yet they never did anything. They just sat there. The commander-in-chief never gave the orders to do something. The commander-in-chief watched Americans die. The American commander-in-chief literally aided the enemy to kill Americans. He sat there and watched Americans being killed. I mean, it was just the information off the Glenn Beck show this evening. It was going into the details of what happened here. And this is treason. And he went into the definition of what Congress, treason is.
And if Congress does not file impeachment proceedings against the president post-haste, then they are involved in, and they are, how would you say, culpable, as far as I'm concerned. That would be lawsuit number 2. If they are not going to go after the people who are elected to office to do the work of the people when they violate it, such as Charlie Rangel and all that, it's time for us to remove each and every one of them, but not through the voting process. Put them in jail. That'll get rid of them. Put them where they belong, in prison, for lying and cheating the people.
Instead of paying them a pension on a gravy train.
The pension has to be, we need to actually file a lawsuit against the pension, because that is totally unconstitutional. There's nothing in there that says they're entitled to a pension.
I totally agree. They want to take they want to cut people's Social Security back while they keep giving themselves raises and pensions.
They already did that to the senior citizens when they denied us a cost of living adjustment. But they went ahead and got their cost of lifestyle adjustment. Because they put in for that illegal raise and say, this is a yearly thing that we voted on. Well, hello, according to the Constitution, you only get a raise once an election has intervened. You don't get one every year. So they owe us an awful lot of money on their raises that they got in the off years. A law does not circumvent the Constitution. And that's why this lawsuit that we're putting in is very important, that we fight it on the constitutional basis. Because they make laws to circumvent the Constitution. That is not the way to do it. It has to go through the amendment process. And if all of the, if all the state legislators, all 37 of them, get on the side of Congress, then that means you have total corruption. You have worse than the mafia ever was in this country. Okay? I'm putting you, I'm going to put you on speaker again, okay?
Okay. Okay. Well, and the whole point of all this is everything to do with Libya, that it was an act of treason. This president doesn't like the United States of America. He's a Muslim. He says it at various times. I'm with you. And now there's this one group, there's some other name for it, but they're out there truly, it's Al-Qaeda, but they're rebranding themselves, giving themselves a name. And he acts like Al-Qaeda's not, he pretends for the political purpose to claim that he's taken down Al-Qaeda, but he hasn't. And to sit there and literally be watching, and this is what, again, this is coming off what Glenn Beck was saying earlier, they were watching in the Situation Room, they had the information, and they sat there while the Americans were killed. Sat there. And it wasn't just Obama who sat there, but of course he's the commander-in-chief. So what about these other people in the Department of Defense and the CIA and the State Department? What about these people who sat there and watched Americans get attacked and killed? Is that not treason, people? How could you vote for these people, vote or support any of these people? And I'll tell you, if you don't get these people that are in these two houses of Congress, if they are not standing up demanding impeachment processes, procedures to begin, regardless of this election, if they don't do it, then they too are guilty of treason. To stand there all and to watch the treasonous action, knowing that you are the one who's supposed to go after and stop that treason, that's your job to do that, you too are guilty of treason. It's the same old thing as we've talked about many times before. You know that bank robber. You may not have been the one in the bank robbing the bank, but if you were driving the getaway car, you're part of the part of the crime. You are just as guilty. You were part of it. And this is exactly what has happened today in this Congress. And then again, I can't say enough, go back to how this is a reflection of the society. The principles. It's more important to get elected than it is to protect the people of this country. It's more important to get elected than to do your job and go after and impeach that president who has violated the Constitution, who has violated the oath of the office, who has violated the people of this country, literally threatening the security of this country, because that's what he wants. He wants to be King Obama. That's what he wants. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of Romney. People know that. I'm no fan of his. But I don't know that he wants to be king, but he definitely isn't. I don't think he would have sat there and watched those Americans get killed. I sure hope not. I truly hope not. He's some call him a fascist versus the King Obama thing. But I don't think Romney would have sat there and watched Americans get killed. But that's what Obama did. But you know what? Doesn't matter who did it. It's treason. That president is guilty of treason, and who is going to do something about it? You know, this. We're getting closer and closer to this revolution happening because you have people in Congress who are just a bunch of deadbeats who just want to ride a gravy train, who want to go and get to ride a bullet train, high-speed train, and all these other kind of things they want to do while totally neglecting their oath of office and their duties to this country. So I, you know, need to put everyone up on notice. I'm going to go out there, I think, to congress.org and send one of those letters out there. You know, you're guilty of treason if you do not step up and oppose and take impeachment actions against this president. You, too, are guilty of treason. And we need to go after these people. And I'll tell you, you know, there's so many violations of the oath of office, fiduciary duties, the Constitution. We need people to be out there going all over the place, going to the courthouse, filing on various issues, filing on immigration, failure to protect the borders, failure to secure the borders. That's the what's the job of the federal government, is to protect the borders, not the EPA and the education. It's a matter of those things that they don't belong in. Food stamps. Let the states take care of their own food stamps. These kind of things. It's the federal government health care. You can't secure our borders, but you're going to try and take care of us? Provide health care? But you can't even secure the borders? The whole thing is just, it's so out of control. And the question is, what are the American people going to do about it? Are the American people just going to sit here like a bunch of sheeple until there's nothing left? This is just so outrageous. And I mean, I will openly admit I'm not the scholar of everything that's happened or the expert of everything that's happened with Libya. But what you do know and what has come out that there's no denying, nobody, it's treason. And the lamestream media doesn't want to talk much about it, but if that's not treason, what is? And that's kind of what was interesting with Glenn Beck. He's got the definition, you know, he's going through the Constitution and the definition of treason, and it talks about aiding the enemy. This was aiding the enemy to kill Americans. How can it be anything else? How was it anything else? Aiding the enemy to kill Americans. Some Americans seem to be okay with it. And going back to the debate, and even on the campaign trail, it's the Republican pundits out there who are complaining about what Romney said or didn't say. Like I said, I didn't hear it, so I couldn't tell you what he said on the debate at all. I've been too busy with the last few days to have heard much of anything on the news, to hear any full report. I barely heard about the hurricane coming by us. So I don't know exactly what he said or didn't say, but right now, it should be all over the place out there. And, I mean, it is some. And apparently Greta was talking about, on the record, was talking about some of this, saying that maybe those, I don't know, if it led to somebody actually talking about impeaching him, I don't know. Charlie, I don't know if you had any information on that. But the whole point is, this is treason. Are we going to sit back and just let it happen? When are the American people going to show that they truly are a principled people and they're going to do something about it? Are we going to wait until November, to November 6th, to say we've done something? Or are we going to demand something happen now? I will be out there contacting Rubio, Senator Rubio and Nelson, to say it's time for you to do your job and impeach that president for an act of treason. If you don't do it, you too are guilty of treason. And I mean that to, I mean, I cannot say how much I stress that, but how much I mean that. I'm so sick of a government that is destroying this country. I'm so sick of a group of Americans who sit on the sidelines doing nothing about it, who refuse to do anything. With me, and as Charlie mentioned, we've done a couple of things. We've got the We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment. The FBI is derelict in their duties. They refuse to investigate the government corruption, which they have a right to do, but they don't care. We're not finished with that issue. And if we don't clean up the ballot box, nothing's going to change either, people. Electing corrupt people isn't what's going to fix this country. Anybody who thinks you can save the country by electing more corruption is something confused. The corruption is what got us into the mess we're in. The complacency and negligence of the citizens of this country is what allowed that to happen. The two pieces go hand in hand. But if we allow this ballot box to remain as corrupt as it is today, nothing is going to change. And if the citizenry are just going to sit on the sidelines while they destroy this country, it's over. The country's already fallen. It's a done deal. When are the American people going to stand up? When are the American people going to hold true to the American creed? Defend against all enemies. And you know what? The enemy is right here. It's not Al-Qaeda we have to fear. It's those who support Al-Qaeda from this country, from this government. And that includes those in the White House and in the two houses of Congress. They They are the ones that they're the enemy. They are the enemy. I just don't understand how people can be so complacent and so willing to go along with it. The other thing, one of the heroes of the event, he was in the Army. I think he may have been a Marine. Sorry, to be honest, I'm not sure. Tyrone Woods, he was one of the troops that were killed in the ordeal. He was killed 6 hours into this thing. The attack had been going on for 6 hours, and still our government had done nothing. And the father of this hero was on Glenn Beck and was talking about it, and how superficial, you know, the president, the fish handshake routine, and, you know, he's sorry for the loss of his son. But it was also superficial. There was no meaning to it. And Hillary said something about the video. We're going to get the people who wrote the video. These people, they're traitors. These people are traitors. They do not believe in America, and they're taking America down while we stand here and let them do it. How despicable is that? I don't get it. I just do not get it. Getting back to, you know, Charlie and I have taken on, we did the We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment. We also did a complaint about the budget, trying to hold these people accountable. And there's so many. There's so many cases, so many violations. And the fact is, we can't do them all. We need help. We need people out there to file. Again, we'll share what we did. There's no reason why you can't file a case that they have failed to honor the Constitution by passing a proper budget. We don't have a budget, and we are all paying for it. We're paying big time for it. And they're talking about doing another bailout for the banks and all this other stuff. So we have, and that's with our money that's in that budget. How are they doing it? With our budget. And that's the debt. And then this ongoing deficit, they keep spending more than what they take in on things that we don't need. They need to cut out all non-essentials and put it back to the states. And the states, you better start doing it, and communities better help each other. Because it's not the federal government to do that stuff. So we've got to get back to this stuff. It's just, but the people have to demand it. When are the American people going to demand it? Because if we just keep letting it go like it is, it's over. And we need other people to file the lawsuits. Do your own. The only thing I'm going to say in doing this, lessons learned, there's do a little bit more homework and research when you go to file it. Try to get as many people named on it as you can to the plaintiffs to go in there and make a presence. You know, if we all do this and we all flood the courts with suing this country, suing the government, suing the U.S. government, and do it at your state level too. The states, it's the same thing. Part of my interstate tolls and the toll tax stuff is going to address how Florida is violating the state constitution. So we have to go at them at all levels here. We want a peaceful revolution. We're trying to do it through the legal system. If the judicial system will not support the rule of law, will not support the Constitution, then they, too, of course, are violating their oath of office. And then we know there's truly no choice but a revolution. If we cannot do it peacefully through the court of law, through the rule of law, then that's when we know there's really no other choice. There will have to be a true revolution in the more typical sense of a revolution. I'd rather see a peaceful judicial revolution, getting rid of and truly penalizing those who violate their fiduciary duties, their oath of office, the Constitution. They don't belong in public office. They belong in jail. Put them in jail. Take away all their bennies. I'm tired of supporting these people for destroying this country. We pay a lot of money in benefits. You want to talk about all the various things you hear about the pensions the school teachers were getting and the unions and this and that. What about this union called Congress? Look at that's a union. They're out there covering themselves and getting their own benefits and hiking up their own pay. So let's shut down that union, the Congressional Union of Benefits, entitlements that they think they're supposed to get when they don't even do their job. I mean, it's bad enough we talk about how the teachers don't get fired. Wait a minute, what about these people? Why do Americans keep reelecting the same scumbags? Wake up out there, people. Why would you elect these same scumbags? I don't remember the last time I actually voted to reelect somebody. I don't keep them in there. That's career politicians is not what this country is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about citizen representation, not career politicians. And let's see, who's out there right now? I definitely wouldn't reelect Nelson. There's nobody in there that I would reelect. And there's people at the local level, like Mayor Orange County Mayor Jacobs, Orange County Commissioner Thompson, and Orange County Commissioner Boyd, who all belong in court. They violated the Sunshine Law. They were doing sidebars in a public meeting with the special interest, all total violations. And nobody's doing anything about it. Well, the one group was supposed to be going after them, but I have not heard anything else since then. I don't know, Charlie, if you heard any updates on that happening, what was going on with them. Go ahead and come back on if you know anything else, any other updates on what they were doing. But
Which one's this? The updates on which one?
Orange County, Mayor Jacobs, Commissioner Thompson, and Commissioner Boyd. Has that group done anything more as far as filing the case to get them out of office because they don't belong in office?
I haven't heard anything about it, but I did hear that there was a lawsuit filed. That's the only thing I heard, that there was a lawsuit filed. But then again, you know, they're going to try to circumvent it as much as possible. The whole thing about it is they have actually violated the law. And therefore, they are not entitled to any kind of remunerations or anything like this. They should actually be removed from office. But like I said, I don't know who the organization is or how far they're going with it. But, you know, the people should also go after them because she's the one that made that. She's the one that told your vote didn't count. She's the one that made the motion to spend $44 million to further study commuter rails in an area where there's not more than 1 million people to support a commuter rail that's going to cost you billions of dollars. Now, that is not smart spending. And actually, I think John Mica should be brought up on charges of violation. But they say, well, you can't do it for that, you know, get him for that. But you probably can get him for bribery because he's accepted money from CSX and that.
Well, I think money laundering, if you go into his daughter's business where she was getting all the money from the various companies. I think that would qualify as money laundering. What's that?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And, you know, when it comes to John Mica, he's on the hit list for my plans on the toll taxes. I have every intention of making him part of that agenda, because we need him out of Congress, and we definitely need him off of the Transportation Committee, because it's just totally wrong. He has nothing but a negative to transportation, $1 billion high-speed trains to nowhere, TSA, you know, and then sad to say that stupid Fox News wants to support him, but that's another story. So, yes, he needs to go, too. And this thing with Jacobs and them. And then, you know, for the Mayor Jacobs, for her to go and say, well, we've passed an ordinance where it ruled that you're not going to be allowed to use your cell phones in the... Well, wait a minute. You weren't supposed to do it to begin with. You don't have to pass a rule. Just follow the law. But she, as you said, you know, she has been corrupt all along. She's been a special interest guru in there. She's never been for the people. I didn't vote for her. I didn't like her when she was a county commissioner. And I don't like her as the county mayor. She needs to be a one-termer, but she really needs to be in jail. She needs to be charged with what she did, violating the Sunshine Law, just like the others. She should be suspended from her duties while this investigation goes on, which there is no investigation. It's all public record because it was being videotaped. Everybody saw what happened. I mean, there can be no doubt as to what she did. It's public knowledge. There's other, and the same is true with the other two. And they've admitted that they were texting things back and forth to special interest during a public meeting, and they were supporting, taking actions against the public, the people, in interest of their, in favor of their special interest. So totally, totally illegal. So why are they still sitting there? What about the, I don't know whether it'd be the FBI, but the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, where are they, even if the people didn't do it? If the people didn't file the case, you know, shouldn't they be doing something? If you're talking, Charlie, I can't hear you. You hit the mute or something. But, okay. Anyway, we're here at 8 o'clock. But like I said, this week has been somewhat of a rough week. This thing on Libya, I was kind of hoping to get a few people to call in and talk about what's happened with Libya and this whole mess and the whole treason of this president. But I don't, right now, it's kind of a slow night out there. I think people are out there doing lots of campaigning for whoever.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a town hall, I think, some kind of a town hall meeting, telephone town hall going on or something tonight, too. So, Charlie, what else do you want to talk about tonight? What are the things that are going on that you think we need to discuss?
I just got something from a friend, John, who calls in every so often.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that I've been spent the morning calling all the Republican members of the House Oversight Committee to request a public hearing before the election regarding Benghazi. One of the staff members gave him the number to call to request a hearing, and he's asking us to call.
Mm, okay.
So everybody should call this number and say you want a public hearing before the election regarding Benghazi. And the phone number is 202-225-5074. Let me repeat that. 202-225-5074 is the OGR committee. And a spokesperson said to call that number to request a hearing. This should be done, and we should request it and let them know that we want this done before the election, which means next week. Today being Thursday, we got Thursday and Friday to do it. It doesn't take them that long to set up a meeting. But the whole thing is that way they would testify before the election and not after the election. Now, the no-show will probably be Barack Obama.
Right.
But the other people could be questioned anyway, and we could get to the bottom of this thing because it is important enough. I'm going to start emailing it out now, so I'm going to be busy.
Okay.
I'm going to email the phone number out to all of my contacts and whatever John put in here. Okay.
Okay. Well, I did put it out there in the chat room to share. Well, actually, I'm trying to see what else was out there today that I was going to get to talk about. So you're pretty much finished for the show, right? You're going to be back on or not?
Well, I'm going to keep listening in case something comes
up.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I just want to let you know I'm going to be typing because I want to get this out because time is of an essence, okay?
Okay. I'll go back some more to this pragmatism versus principle, what to do with Mint. I'm going to read a little bit about what started up the top here. Most informed, decent Americans realize that we as a nation are faced this election with a choice that is entirely unthinkable. On the one hand, Barack Obama, profoundly unacceptable, and on the other hand, Mitt Romney for President of the United States. We can all agree as moral conservatives about the first choice. It's the second choice that divides us. Some of us have resigned ourselves to the now cliche lesser of two evils, rationalization, and are planning to support Romney for purely pragmatic reasons. Obama's got to go, and Mitt is our only realistic hope of stopping the radical communists. Some of us instead are third-party supporters who are aligned with someone like Ron Paul as a write-in, Virgil Good of the Constitution Party, or Gary Johnson of the Libertarian Party, in the hope of influencing public policy, if not the outcome of the election itself. And some of us are platform-minded Republicans who support the unifying published principles of the GOP but can't tolerate the thought of voting for Mitt Romney, who is arguably the most liberal, socialistic, not to mention opportunist, Republican nominee ever, despite his vain conservatism and who, by way, has distanced himself from the party platform. And again, I'm not going to read this whole thing because it's kind of long, but this goes into what we as a people are. What do you believe in? What do you stand for? And it's just kind of telling to me when, let's see if I can see this one other part in here. Let's see. He said about the two evils, the twin parties, choices posed for moral conservatives. Obama is obviously disqualified for his Marxist Islamic Destroy America agenda, likely to play out in a catastrophic conclusion if he's reelected. If he's reelected, that is, and if God doesn't intervene on our hour of extreme need and spare our nation from Obama's evil designs. For his part, Romney is unqualified for a long list of reasons that make voting him problematic for anyone determined to do the right thing in this election. More on that in a moment. Let's see. Again, I'm not going to... This is a quite lengthy thing, but it goes into... The fact, I happen to feel, if I can't speak candidly, that a fairly large number of us who profess to believe in God not only contradict that profession of faith, when truly tested by God, we behave like atheists in doing so. I thought that was an interesting line there. It's to say we believe in God, we trust in God, but yet we're going to vote for the lesser of two evils. It's just, and it's whatever you think on this campaign. There's many opinions as to why we need to vote for Romney just to get Obama out of there. But think about what it truly means as a people, that we surrender our principles so easily. And that's the way I take it. People have been extremely annoyed with me for saying that. But, you know, I was going back through some of the stuff, the information about what happened in the Republican primaries, and it was so evil. It was so evil what they did. Everything to do with it, it was so corrupt. Absolutely so corrupt. And I'm like, gosh, the hypocrisy. I don't know. I guess if you're okay with voting for the lesser of two evils, and that's you're able to justify that in your own mind, that that's what, I don't know. I'm just going to have to follow, as this one says, I have to stick to my principles. I'm not going to surrender those core beliefs and vote for somebody I believe is totally corrupt too. And I hope that it all works out. I hope that Americans, regardless of the outcome, because that White House isn't the only thing. People have got to understand that White House is one piece of the corruption, but you got a Senate and a House of Representatives, two houses of Congress that are equally corrupt in their own way. So if you don't get rid of those people, it doesn't matter who's in that White House, which I think is the part that's so silly. When you listen to any of this political rhetoric from these campaigns, presidential campaigns specifically, is they go, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Well, if they follow the Constitution, they have to deal with Congress. Are they planning on writing all executive orders and truly just becoming king of the United States? Or are they going to actually follow the Constitution and go by and talk to Congress and have the wars declared by Congress like they're supposed to and get rid of all these crazy executive orders? These executive orders are truly the ultimate king. We already have a king. We have King Obama, and any of them that write this many executive orders, that's what they have done. They've circumvented the whole Congress, and they've become king. I can't remember when it was, but in these past few days, I did actually see, believe it or not, see, it was on C-SPAN. There was a third-party presidential debate, and it was kind of interesting because, of course, I'm sure most of you never heard about it. And most of you would, you know, you're not going to waste your vote on a third party. And so you're going to continue to support and promote this, the current corruption. But it was interesting. It was out there. It was there were four candidates that were on the debate: Gary Johnson, Virgil Good, Jill Stein, and Rocky Anderson, I believe was his name. They were the third-party candidates that were out there having a debate. And you know what? I think most Americans agreed with what they were saying much more than what either of these two others said. I mean, if you, and I didn't hear the whole debate. I'm sure if you go to C-SPAN, you can play it and hit, listen to it there. And at some point, I may do that myself. But when you think about it, if you would have listened to the third-party debate, reality is you probably agreed more with what a couple of them were saying than what either of the two primary, the two Democrats and Republicans were saying. But Americans have given up principle. They have surrendered to this two-party mentality. They said, well, we have to do what we have to do. It's two-party. We can't do anything else. We're only Americans. We can't do anything else. So we have to vote for the two parties. And because we're a bunch of sheeple, that's my take on it. And you ignore the people who are better qualified. You ignore the people who actually represent this country for what it is and believe in the Constitution. Can't vote for them because they're not the two parties. Yeah, sure, they believe in the Constitution, but who cares about that? They're not a Republican or a Democrat. Can't vote for them. It's nuts. We get the government we deserve. This is why this country's fallen. My own strong beliefs. No principles. We have no principles. We have lost the principles. Very few of us truly own or believe and hold to the principles we believe in. We'll say it, you know, and it's not that other people don't believe, just like believing in God. People say they believe in God, but yet when it comes down to it, when their faith is tested, what do? How many times do they cave in to the lesser of two evils? So it's totally reflective of what has come of this country, and I truly, truly believe, goes back to what things Washington said in his farewell address, we will not survive if we are not a moral culture, not a moral country. We've lost a sense of true principles. As by and large, this country has lost the core principles, core beliefs. We've allowed ourselves to be invaded by those who don't believe to begin with. And this goes back to what I've said many, many times about the Muslims. Can you be an American and a Muslim at the same time? I say you can't. In a legal sense, constitutionally, you have the freedom of religion routine. So in that sense, yes, you have a legal right to be a Muslim in this country. But it doesn't matter what faith you're in. You do not have the right to destroy this country. You do not have the right to aid the enemies against this country. That's treason. If you're in using your religious faith as an excuse to aid the enemy against this country, does not fly. So you to honor your own religious faith, Muslim faith, you truly can't be an American. To be an American Muslim means you're going to aid the enemy against America, which is treason. So you can't do that. Being an American Muslim is like being an atheist Christian. You can't be a Christian and be an atheist at the same time. You can't be a Muslim and be an American at the same time. Not morally. In that sense. And that's where we're at today. That's exactly where I see we're at today. And this is why our country has fallen. This is why we're failing. This is why we have so much corruption in government. Because we the people stand on the sidelines and allow it to happen. And with me, I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to do what I can, live free or die. I'm going to fight to the end. I'm going to promote freedom. I'm going to promote this Constitution. And we need more people to do that. The other thing that on Glenn Beck's show, when they were talking about he was interviewing the father of Tyrone Woods, who was one of the heroes of the 9/11 event in Libya. They were saying, we need more heroes. Tyrone Woods, he did not have to go in there. He heard the cry for help, and he went in there. He was not ordered to go in there. He saw a need, and he went in. That was what his job was to defend, protect and defend, and that's what he did. he probably would still be alive today had he not had some core beliefs and core principles who went in there to try to help and to fight. But it was my understanding, it was into the 6th hour, if I remember correctly, 6 hours into this attack when he was killed. There was no, the commander-in-chief, the United States commander-in-chief, which is our president, Obama, never took action to defend the American people, to defend that embassy, to defend that ambassador, to defend the other Americans. He just stood there and watched. That is a treasonous action. To aid the enemy in attacking Americans is treason. It's that simple. How can it be anything else? How can people think it's nothing else? How can Americans sit on the sidelines and just say this is okay? And I mean, there's Americans who are frustrated, and you hear a little bit of squawking on the news media. But what's going to happen? Who are these people in Congress? You know, there's many of them. I shouldn't say many. There's several of them that I actually think are honorable and will do something, but many of them will do nothing. They're all worried about getting reelected, and that's all they care about. They don't care about doing their job. Their job is to get reelected. It's not their job to do something for the people, not to protect and honor the Constitution. That's not their job. Their job is to spend all their time getting elected. And Charlie was talking about Congressman Daniel Webster, who I've frequently referred to as a rhino. He's from Central Florida. He's my congressman right now, but due to the district changes, he will not be cut in the next round. He spent $100,000. Now, they say $100,000 on his office, and I actually have to go one more question with that, and I haven't got his website up here. I could probably get to it quickly here. That was, I'm actually assuming that $100,000 was for his Washington, D.C. office. Let's talk about all the other offices. I think John Micah has somewhere around 6 or 8 different offices. Why would they need all these offices? How much that part is crazy. Let's cut all the budget there. How many offices do they need? They definitely need one central, a fully operational office that's centrally located in their district where all their constituents can get to it within reason. If all of their constituents can't get to the congressional office of their district in a reasonable amount of time, reasonable access to it, and have it be opened during the day kind of thing, then they've got something seriously wrong with these congressional districts. So you need one office that's fully operational, open during regular hours like it should be, with the representative there at reasonable times for people to meet and speak with them. And then they should have town hall meetings at various locations throughout their district. They don't need all these stinking offices. These people are such elitists. This is why we needed the 13th Amendment. We need to go back and get that 13th Amendment put back in like it's supposed to be, because it was ratified. We're not supposed to have a bunch of nobility elitists who think they're above the people, because they're not. They are not above the people in any way, shape, or form. And these people who do this kind of stuff, it's unacceptable. But you know what? If we're just a bunch of sheeple, we're going to let them do it. So just put a message out there for good old Congressman Daniel Webster, another rhino, another Florida rhino. Florida is infested with rhinos. There are so many rhinos here. You truly can't tell the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans here. I call them Demorats and rhinos. They have failed in any, they stand for nothing. And Dan Webster is a perfect example. Dan Webster is another one who's out there promoting toll taxes. He's another one out there who has promoted the high-speed trains and all this nonsense. Pork spending to the max, useless pork spending. And because he has to stand by his friend, you know, the rhinos have to stick together. Micah and Webster have to all stick together. But Dan Webster, in his case, he literally has a toll road tax named after him. There's the Dan Webster Toll Road Beltway. He's so proud of his taxes. He's so proud to be assessing toll taxes to the people of Central Florida. Good job, Rhino Webster. Yeah, your name's going to be out there, too, when this interstate toll thing really gets going. Because I'm telling you, it's going to get going. I have contacted a lot of groups. The response I had to the show last week on the toll taxes, very positive. I think we have enough people who are really ready to take back America, which means taking back our roads. They have no business selling our public infrastructure to foreign entities, which is what they do. Public-private partnerships. Massive Agenda 21 collusion of the private sector and collusion of the United Nations Agenda 21 piece. Collusion of the private sector, which leads to the government takeover of everything. It's despicable. Absolutely despicable. So we've got to shut these people down. All of it. It has to stop from every aspect of it. And we need people to get out there and do the lawsuits. I'm not, if I was Donald Trump and I had lots of money, or if I was Mitt Romney and I had lots of money, or if I was Obama and had lots of money, go with half these people who have been in public service at any point are all wealthy. It's amazing how wealthy they get doing public service jobs. If I had the money, I would be filing those lawsuits. I mean, I would gladly file 100 different lawsuits against this country, against this government, the United States government, for the violation of the Constitution, violation of the fiduciary duties, violation of their oath of office. I would do it in a heartbeat if money was no object, but I don't have that kind of money. So we need others. And truthfully, it shouldn't just be me doing it. It shouldn't just be me and Charlie and Terry doing this stuff. We need all Americans to help out. So we need every one of you to get engaged, to contact every one of your representatives. Go find out how much they spend in their offices. How many offices do they have? Find out what they're doing. Find out how much money they spend on that kind of nonsense. And then think about you and me, we the people, if we were going to open an office for a business and to speak with people, how much would it cost us to do that? How much is the minimum we could get by and serve the purpose, do the need, without getting in a life of luxury? Because we don't need the luxury. When we are in such a financial crisis, you're not supposed to be buying all these luxury bells and whistles. They shouldn't be doing it anyway, because that's not the role of government. It's not to go and make their life cushy at the expense of the people. Public service. They only understood what public service. To them, it's self-service. Total self-service, not public service. They're totally confused. They've totally lost their way. Charlie, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back, and I'm about getting ready to go. I've been listening, and the whole thing about it is spending. The whole thing of it that you're talking about is reckless spending, the commuter rail, the office expense, and everything else. And I'm going to throw something at you right now that I did some calculation for the people. Here is how I think we should do something about Congress. They seem to have gotten greedy in their time because they're supposed to be working at their home and then coming to Washington to take care of the office of the thing. So here, Congress work and wages, approximately $174,000 a year is what these greedy people have built up their wages to. Based on 365 days in a calendar year, let's subtract 14 days a year for Christmas and New Year's, okay? That gives them a two-week break. That's 351 days left in the year for them to work. Now, let's give them Saturday and Sunday off like the rest of the private sector does. This is where I'm talking about petitioning our government to do the work that we want them to do and work the way we want them to work, not the way they want to work. So let's subtract 104 days from 351, and you come up with 247 days left to work. Now, let's give them another break. The average, when I worked at the airline, we got 10 holidays off a year. And if we worked on the holiday because we were not salary, like Congress or like the management, we got time and a half, or double time and a half even, when the time was good. But that's when the economy was really good. So let's take 10 more holidays off for the year, which would include Easter, July 4th, May the 30th, et cetera, et cetera. So now that leaves 237 days left. Now let's subtract approximately, they say they work approximately 108 days a year. That's what I've heard. They work about 108 days a year. So that leaves about 129 days that they are off doing their campaigning, brown-nosing, kissing everybody's butt and everything like that to get money for their campaigns, which we're not supposed to be paying for. They should be actually at home working 129 days in their businesses, on the farm, or whatever, just like our founding fathers so designed it. Well, 108 days out of 247 leaves about, or 237, leaves about maybe 40%. I had it written down here, but I made a 10-day mistake. So let's see. 237 and 108. Okay, anyway, I'm pretty close. It's approximately 40% a year that they work for We the People, which means about 60 days or 60% they're off. So that's pretty good for them, isn't it? 60% not having to work the whole year and only 40% working for We the People. Well, I went a little bit further now. I took 43% to give them a benefit of the doubt. Of $174,000, that means their yearly wages, if based on what they do work, would be $74,820 a year. This comes out to about $6,235 per month wage for Congress, each person. You know, that's $99,180 would be restored to the taxpayers by each member of Congress each year. And since they have been doing this to us without our approval and in violation of the Constitution, we should go after this retroactively for, let's say, every year that they've been in office, which means John Micah. He didn't work all of those days. Let him prove that they worked all those days. I mean, 247 of them. If they can't prove 247, let's give them the break. 237, because I had to subtract the 10 days. 236. If they have not worked 237 days a year for We the People, doing our business and not going around on trips and sightseeing trips and all this type of thing, but actual work, then fine. Let them substantiate it. But if not, let them reimburse us $99,000 for every year that they've worked and have been elected to office. Now, isn't that a wonderful gift to give them from We the People? You screwed us all of these years by giving yourself an illegal raise every year to violate and circumvent the Constitution, which, ladies and gentlemen, according to the Constitution, they shall receive pay after an election has intervened for Congress. That's basically the way it is, every 2 years. They can then get a raise in that 1 year. Not in the off year. They can't get a raise. But Congress decided, oh, well, we're just going to make a law to give us a raise every year. That is an illegal law. That is a way to circumvent the Constitution. Therefore, that is a violation of the Constitution. And so somebody needs to file a lawsuit in district court against Congress's illegal raises because they are in violation of the Constitution and no law written according to the judges of the Supreme Court, if the law is in violation of the Constitution, it is not a law. Therefore, we the people need to get restitution, and that's why Sally, Terry, and I have filed a suit in regards to the failure to properly process a budget. Now we need somebody with the patriotism to file a lawsuit against Congress for the illegal retirement plan. And also, let's say the illegal wage increase. All right, Sally. God bless America. God bless our troops. I'll talk to you Monday.
Okay. Thank you, Charlie.
Okay.
Good night. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's see. There's a couple of things I was thinking about going over here. In fact, let's see. Let me check something else out here. The other thing that I thought was interesting, I heard this a YouTube with Jesse Ventura. He apparently he's been chased off of the various cable news shows. Nobody wants to hear him speak the truth because he's out there opposing what the two parties do, and I think it's kind of interesting. And he was just out there ranting. It's like, and he's right. You know, I mean, it's so, the mainstream media doesn't want to hear from him or won't interview him because he's going to talk about the truth of what's happening in this country and how the political process is so corrupt and it's all controlled by the entities, by the corporations. So why is that? So much for freedom of speech. And going back with, you know, what Charlie was talking about with the money and everything, excuse me, and the elections. Well, what's our famous saying here on American Statesman that we quote? That's a quote from James Freeman Clark. A politician thinks about the next election. A statesman thinks about the next generation. We have nothing but politicians. We pay them to be out there on the campaign trail. They're not doing the people's business. They're out there worrying about getting reelected. And I'm going to try to get some more information on a Republican lobbyist that has something like 16,000 acres here in Florida. I don't have too much of the details. I'm going to try to find out more. Oh, excuse me. Not 16,000 acres. Has a 16,000 square foot home on so many acres with two lakes or stuff, a Republican lobbyist. So we know what business they're in. But we got to accept the fact that these people do not represent us. They are out there for the money for themselves. It's just truly that simple. And I'm going through some of Jefferson's quotes. And let's see here. There's so many of them. Jefferson, Adams, Jefferson, Washington. They were so wise in everything they told us. They warned us about what was going to happen, and they tried to educate us of what not to do, but many times we just wouldn't listen. So let's see here. Okay. Let's see. I predict future happiness for Americans if they can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them. Think about that. And think about where we are today. I predict future happiness for Americans if they can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them. That is so where we are today. And then the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. Thomas Jefferson. And let's see. Okay. My reading of history convinces me that most bad government results from too much government. Gosh. I don't know if I can... What does that sound like? My reading of history convinces me that most bad government results from too much government. Do you want to know who you are? Don't ask. Act. Actions will delineate and define you. If you have to ask who you are, then you've got a question. You've got a problem. Okay. And this one, I know I read this one before in the past. When we get piled upon one another in large cities, as in Europe, we shall become as corrupt as Europe. Oh, just amazing the things that he wrote. When we get piled upon one another in large cities, as in Europe, we shall become as corrupt as Europe. Now, we're probably not piled up quite as much, but we definitely have this mentality of cramming all people together in the cities, just like New York and some of the larger cities. Okay. The glow of one warm thought is to me worth more than money. This was Jefferson. The glow of one warm thought is to me worth more than money. These were people who were of principle, who believed in working hard and did work, and they, but they were not out there trying to gain the money from the people, not trying to steal the money from the people, which is where we are today. And let's see here. I have this is also Jefferson. I have the consolation of having added nothing to my private fortune during my public service, and of retiring with my hands as clean as they are empty. See, Thomas Jefferson wasn't there to try and get rich off of the people, like most of our elected public servants are today, because they're politicians, they're not statesmen. They are there gaming the system against the people. And let's see, a strong body makes the mind strong. As to the species of exercises, I advise the gun. While this gives moderate exercise to the body, it gives boldness, enterprise, and independence to the mind. Games played with the ball and others of that of nature are too violent for the body and stamp no character on the mind. Let your gun, therefore, be your constant companion of your walks. See, Thomas Jefferson believed the mind was much more important. Today's world, the body is more important. Getting a touchdown is more important than reading the Constitution. Going into gymnastics and the Olympics. The Olympics is all about physical competition. It has nothing to do with mental ability. We don't seem to believe that's important anymore. Okay, I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. Was he not right? What would Thomas Jefferson think today of what has become of the banking industry, the banking institutes, the central bank? He always said we cannot have to fear a central bank. And then, of course, one of his most famous sayings that people know, when the people fear the government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. Right now, Americans fear the government. We definitely fear this government. That's why people are voting the way they're going to vote. We fear. Americans are scared. And not all Americans, but by and large, way too many people are scared. Americans are scared. And how do we defeat and restore this country if we as Americans are afraid? It's just very, very sad when I see how afraid Americans have become. I never consider a difference of opinion in politics and religion or philosophy as the cause for withdrawing from a friend. We have to be able to have difference of opinions and still be friends. There's nothing wrong with having a difference of opinion. Okay, and then, of course, this one's another biggie. It is incumbent on every generation to pay its own debts as it goes, a principle which, if acted on, would save one half of the wars of the world. It is incumbent on every generation to pay its own debts as it goes. A principle, once again, talking principle, a principle which, if acted on, would save one half of the wars of the world. So true. These people, the founders, understood what was happening here. Nothing can stop the man with the right mental attitude from achieving his goal. Nothing on earth can help the man with the wrong mental attitude. And that's what we see when we talk about people who want free phones. You know, they don't want to do anything. The mental attitude is to stay where you're at and have handouts so people give you donations and that you're not supposed to work for anything. So you never achieve your own personal success because you're standing there expecting somebody else to support you. Okay, let's see here. question with boldness even the existence of God, because if there be one, he must more approve of the homage of reason than that of a blindfolded fear. Okay. Experience demands that man is the only animal which devours his own kind, for I can apply no milder term to the general prey of the rich on the poor. Now, this is one I haven't heard a whole lot, it's one I'm not as familiar with. I've read a lot of Jefferson's quotes. But isn't this true? And, I mean, I've said it for a long time that the humans are the lowest life form on this planet. They're the only ones that harm each other strictly for greed. Will take down another for greed. Obviously, there's self-defense and things like that do happen. But when it comes to the corporate environment, the corporate world out there, people who will steal the work of others to try to get a promotion, lie about the work of others to try to get a promotion, steal from others because they want something, they want the money, they don't want to have to work for it, they just want to take it. So it is so true. Experience demands that man is the only animal which devours its own kind, for I can apply no milder term to the general prey of the rich on the poor. The rich on the poor. That's what's happening with the interstate highway system. The rich people are controlling the transportation for the middle class and the working class, the lower income people, because we can't go out there and fight it in the same way that they're doing this. They're forcing this on us. They're taking us down. They're causing our cost of living to go up and our quality of life to go down because they have the money and the power. These are evil people, and that's what they are, and this is what's happening. And that, again, that's why I've been adamant about the toll road situation for many years, and I've just decided I'm going to have to take it to another level to get something done about it, especially with what they're doing with I-95 and all these public-private partnerships of selling our highways to foreign interests. It's just unbelievable. And they don't have the right to sell public assets. It's not their assets to sell. I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. And then, think about that one too. I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. And right now, it's up to us to be the people we're supposed to and trust that God will provide the justice. God, and God may be providing the justice now because we the people have not been moral, have not been principled. This may be the justice for having lost our way for what we believe in or what we profess to believe in. Okay, let's see here. A Bill of Rights is what the people are entitled to against every government and what no just government should refuse or rest in inference. Okay, let's see here. Educate and inform the whole mass of the people. They are the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty. Now, that again is so telling. Educate and inform the whole mass of the people. If the people are totally properly educated on freedom, on the Constitution, on this country, that will preserve our liberty. But what has happened due to Agenda 21? The dumbing down of Americans has taken over. We have allowed a government to indoctrinate people into thinking something different, to think that they are sheeple, to not understand what freedom means, to not understand we have a right to own property, to take away that property rights. It's exactly where we're at today. And it's such a true statement. Educate and inform the whole mass of the people. They are the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty. So when the people have been dumbed down to a bunch of sheeple who don't understand what freedom is, what property rights are, what liberty is, then we have no liberty. It's gone. Honesty is the first chapter in the Book of Wisdom. And let's see. Let's go to some other ones here. And next time we'll go into John Adams' quotes, because he's got some really good ones out there too. Okay, the world is indebted for all triumphs which have been gained by reason and humanity over error and oppression. Force is the vital principle and the immediate parent of despotism. I have seen enough of one war never to wish to see another. I have seen enough of one war never to wish to see another. Okay. If there is one principle more deeply rooted in the mind of every American, it is that we should have nothing to do with conquest. Isn't that an interesting comment? Isn't that an interesting thought? The wisdom of these people. If there is one principle more deeply rooted in the mind of every American, it is that we should have nothing to do with conquest. Think about where we're at today in that statement. Okay. And let's see. Politics is such a torment that I advise everyone I love not to mix with it. Politics is definitely evil. So much evilness in it. There really, truly is. The spirit of this country is totally adverse to a large military force. The spirit of this country is totally adverse to a large military force. That one's really interesting today when you think about what's happening. I want us to have a military that protects this homeland. And it's not on the conquest to try and take over the world. So it was just interesting. The spirit of this country is totally adverse to a large military force. We did not raise armies for glory or for conquest. We did not raise armies for glory or for conquest. That's if you believe in what America is supposed to be about. Wisdom I know is social. She seeks her fellows, but beauty is jealous and illy bears the presence of a rival. Let's see here. I'll do a couple more here. A good opinion of mankind, like the lever of Archimedes, with a given fulcrum moves the world. I have to admit I'm not familiar with that one. Okay. The creator has not thought proper to mark those in the forehead who are of stuff to make good generals. We are first, therefore, to seek them blindfold and then let them learn the trade at the expense of great losses. Let's read that one again. The Creator has not thought proper to mark those in the forehead who are of the stuff to make good generals. The Creator didn't mark us in some way. We are first, therefore, to seek them blindfold and then let them learn the trade at the expense of great losses on the job training, so to speak. And if you're good, you're going to survive. If you're not, you're not. The moment a person forms a theory, his imagination sees in every object only the traits which favor that theory. So when you form a theory, you limit your view. Yeah, you're not going to be as wide open, not as open-minded once you have formed the theory. And let's see. The second office in the government is honorable and easy. The first is but a splendid misery. being the president is a splendid misery. Okay, let's see here. Well, I think that's all I'm going to take on that for right now. I do like to go over the various quotes, and I mean, that's only a small portion of Jefferson's, but it shows the founders understood what was going to happen here. They understood so plainly, so clearly, and they tried to warn us. But, you know, human nature, just as many as the things that Jefferson says, human nature, to go after and devour each other, instead of working together to preserve what this country is, we go after each other. We have greedy, greedy, greedy politicians. There are very few statesmen and almost all politicians in public office. They go there with minimal wealth, they get rich, and then they take advantage, and they can play the game. They game the system against the American people, and that, regardless of who you vote for that White House, I don't particularly like either of the two the Democrats and Republicans. I don't care for either of them. I definitely don't want to reelect Obama. But at the same time, focus on those two houses of Congress. You've got to get the traitors out of there, too. We've got three houses to clean out. We must clean out all three houses in Washington, D.C. We have got to get the scum buckets out of there. We've got to get the evildoers out of there, those who lack any kind of principle, who are strictly there to game the system against the people. We have got to get rid of them. They are killing us. They are destroying us. They are the enemies from within. We must defend ourselves against all enemies. This goes back to that American's creed. I therefore believe it's my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. We must defend this country against all enemies, wherever they are. We have enemies in Washington, D.C. We have enemies in our state capitals. We have enemies in our local governments, local county, city and county municipalities. We have got to stop and not let them continue to destroy what we have. It will be our fault if we fall. And we're halfway there. We're on our knees now. Are we going to be taken totally down by the evil doers from within? It's not Al-Qaeda that's doing it. It's those who allow Al-Qaeda to do it. Those who aid the enemy, such as Obama. And those who are in the houses of Congress who say, oh, okay, he just did that. It's treason, but that's okay. We're not going to impeach a president who's treasonous. Why would we do that? And I mean, I don't want to take treason lightly. Treason is not something to be recklessly thrown around. But at some point, you have to be honest. It's treason. What this president has done, he stood by and watched Americans being attacked and did nothing. He aided the enemy by doing nothing. He aided the enemy by leaving our military on the sidelines watching our people get killed. That's treason. There's no other way to call it. It's treason. How can anybody think it's anything else? That's what treason is. So we're getting down to the last few minutes here. The next on Monday's show, I'm going to go over the Orange County initiatives. These are the county charter referendum things that are nothing but legal mumbo-jumbo that nobody's supposed to understand. It's not supposed to mean anything except for those who are trying to screw over the people here. But we will go over them one more time. At the state level, on the constitutional amendments, no. No, no, no. No to all of them. So that's no 11 times. No, 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 no. No to all of the state constitutional amendments. In the past, I told you 5 was the only one that was close to being a true constitutional amendment, but there is a they've mixed other stuff in it. If they would have looked at strictly as how to assign the justices in the state of Florida, that would have been one thing, but they've mixed other stuff in there that did not belong in there, so just vote no. No, 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 no. No to all 11 state constitutional amendments in the state of Florida, including those for the veterans. And there's going to be some of you that are going to think, well, gosh, I just have to support the veterans. We need to support the veterans as a country. It should not be the burden of the people of Florida to support all the veterans of the country. That is what the problem is. And every single one of us, our counties cannot support what they want them to do. We need to support veterans across the board at a national level. They protect all of us. It is not right to take it down to a state level and have local communities have to support them on their own. It's just not right to do that. We should all support our military across the board equally. They shouldn't have to come to Florida for special benefits. And the people of Florida shouldn't be burdened to support the military benefits. It should be us as a country, as a nation, as a people. So please, no, 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 no. No 11 times, every state constitution, no. And I'm going to say it's going to be no on most of these things on these Orange County referendums, but the wording on them is so sloppy. They should not be allowed. These two should truly be challenged in court because they intentionally try to confuse people, trying to figure out what they say. But we'll go over these one more time before the election. And the Florida election, I guess it's actually, let's see, the 27th of Saturday is when they start having early voting. I myself do not believe in the early voting. I think we need to have a 24-hour window across the country where everybody votes at the same time and the polls all close at the same time, and then you don't have all this other nonsense with the media declaring who's the winner and this and that, people thinking their vote doesn't count and this and that and all these other things. I think we need to change that. We need to totally reform the way we elect people. The whole process is corrupt, corrupt beyond any reasonable doubt. So on that note, I think I'm going to wrap it up. We've got a couple minutes left here, but it's been a rough week for me. And I, again, apologize for not having the show on Monday, but please understand there was a reason. And I will definitely be having a show talking about lessons learned about healthcare today and how we treat elderly people and how medicine has become a moneymaker. It's not about caring for people. And this comes to the various levels of this kidney dialysis stuff and the meds and the pharmaceuticals and the whole process. And then, truly, what happens in the hospital? My father contracted MRSA in the hospital. Those kind of things, too. There's just so much that happened here that I want to share with people to help them understand what happens and also to be prepared and to challenge what the doctors tell you. The doctors are not God. Just because the doctor says it doesn't mean it's the ultimate answer. Be willing to get a second opinion. Be willing to do your own research, understand these things, and just don't automatically assume everything the doctor says is the right thing. That's one, they're human. And two, unfortunately, there's sometimes a misguided that they want to give you medicine because they happen to own stock in that company. Or the dialysis clinic, they get $1,600 every time that person sits in that chair. They don't want you to go twice a week. They want you to go three times a week. They want you to go as many times as your insurance will pay. That's what they, and I mean, I came, that's almost exactly what the doctor told me. If Medicare would pay for six times a week, we would have them come in six times a week. Wasn't what the patient needed. It's what they wanted for the money. So anyway, on that note, I will stop there. Please be involved. Please be principled. Please honor the American's creed. Defend against all enemies. Please defend against all enemies. That's what we as Americans must do. We must stop being afraid. We must stop being afraid. We must stop standing on the sidelines. We must become involved and do something. We cannot allow it to keep going. Otherwise, there will be no United States of America for the next generation. And that's my story, and I'm not changing it. I'm sticking to it. Have a nice evening, and please tune in on Monday, and we'll see what we're going to talk about then. As always, may God bless and protect the USA. Good night.